fast to the left, but they want to make it right. And of course, one of the applications for replacing the budget. The first speaker is Sonia Clark from UC San Diego. And the title is Probabilistic Replay of Execution Sketching on Multiprocessing.
Hello. Broadcast. Yes. Is it good?
Yes.
Okay, I'll start. Good morning, everyone. I'm Sonia Clark from UCSD. First, thank you for attending my talk. Today, I will present PRESS Probabilistic Replay with Experience Sketching on Multiprocessors. As we all know, writing a complex program is very difficult. Because a human being is used to sequential thinking, we easily introduce concurrency bugs. Concurrency bugs have caused severe real-world disasters, such as medical accident by Carrier 25 and the Norse Blackout black out in 2003. Recent multi-core trend even worsened this problem. A concurrency bug has some notorious characteristics, which is it requires specific thread interleaving to manifest. Let's look at automatic violation bug in Apache. This bug can manifest only when these memory accesses are interleaved in this particular order. Such characteristics have two implications. First, it is very hard to expose many concurrency bugs during enough testing. Inevitably, many concurrency bugs escape into production runs. Once a concurrency bug manifests during production run, it is also very difficult to reproduce the bug for diagnosis. Our work tries to deal with this problem. To reproduce the bug, a deterministic replay has been used. For uniprocessors, it is relatively easy. Uniprocessors have only three sources of non-determinism, which include input, thread scheduling, and system calls. Therefore, as long as we record those informations during production run and supply them in the same way as production run, we can reproduce the bug. However, the deterministic replay for multiprocessors is much more challenging. Now, multiple threads concurrently execute on different processors. It introduces another important source of non-determinism, which is the interleaving of shared memory addresses. It makes replay very difficult. In this example, we have to know the exact order of memory addresses to reproduce this bug. There have been way too many shared memory addresses. It is conceivable that it is very expensive to record all of shared memory addresses. Therefore, many hardware designs have been proposed for fast recordings. However, none of them is existing in reality, and it is not clear whether they will ever become reality. Some of the research work proposed software-only approach. Unfortunately, many of them incurs significantly high production run overhead. So sometimes it can be more than 100 times slowdown. So it is not practical for most of applications. Let me show existing software research proposals in more detail. First, in common practice, to avoid a production run overhead, we do not record anything. Instead, some error happens, then we try to replay over and over to reproduce a bug. Sometimes it requires more than 1,000 times replay attempts. On the other hand, All existing such software approach aims to reproduce the bug on the first replay attempt. It can be achieved only by writing all non-deterministic events during production runs, so it has huge overhead. From this comparison, we made the important observations. I really want you to get these two points during my talk. First, comparing to replay efforts, production run performance is much more critical. Some applications may not even tolerate 1 to 2 slowdowns. So those applications, we cannot use existing software research proposals. Second observation is, we do not need to reproduce the bug in the first replay attempt. Look at the common practice, right? So in other words, in order to do less during production runtime, we are willing to give more replay efforts during diagnosis. Now, I will introduce our replay scheme, probabilistic replay with execution sketch. PREST has three main ideas. First, during production run, we record only partial information, which can significantly decrease the recording overhead. Second, we try to push the complexity into diagnosis time. That is the time performance is relatively non-critical. The third point, since we only have partial information, of course, we may not reproduce the work in the first replay run. Fortunately, we can leverage feedback from the unsuccessful replay runs. This is the process of PREST. During production run, we only take important information called sketch. Once an error happens, we construct unrecorded non-deterministic events to reproduce a bug. But during replay time, if a replay log goes to a wrong direction, we immediately abort the replay and then analyze why it fails to reproduce the bug. Then, based on this feedback, we enforce another execution pass in the next replay logs. Please note that we try to reproduce the bug, not necessarily for the original execution. Once we reproduce the bug, we already have a complete information to reproduce the bug. Therefore, from now on, we can always reproduce the bug with 100% probability. Okay, I will explain the sketch recording scheme. This arrow shows the whole spectrum of possible sketch recording scheme. I will show a few recording methods here, each of which has a different recording granularity and overhead. So this end has the smallest overhead, and this end has the largest overhead. First, the base scheme records only on essential information for unit processor deterministic replay. On the other hand, read-write schemes represent existing software on the approach, so it records the global order of shared memory accesses. To explain this five sketch method, I will use this running example. Here, the thread 1 is supposed to print out the final result. Unfortunately, it happened right before thread 2 actually assigned value. Sync scheme records the global order of synchronization operations on the top of the base. In that way, we can ensure and risk the global order of lock of positions during replay time. Sync scheme additionally records the global order of system calls. Similarly, chips takes the every entry point of the function port. BB records the global order of its blocks, and BBN is an optimized optimized version of BB. So in that case, the BB2 takes every second base block. Now you may notice that we take more and more sketch point from base to RW. These schemes are only for demonstrating our working ideas, and you can add your own method into this space. For example, you can take only five fixed function ports for your applications. Now I will explain the above reproduction case. First, PI replayer controls replay logs to follow original order of sketch points. In the meanwhile, a monitor is used to detect whether a replay log succeeded to reproduce the log. If it fails, we analyze the reason. For the purpose, we have a unique component called replay recorder. We record all non-deterministic events during replay time, and from the trace, we change the feedback and decide how to improve the next replay log. I will explain these three components in more detail. During replay time, at least sketch point should be replayed in the same way as production logs. For the purpose, our PI replayer controls the replay logs. For example, if we record log A and B in this order, then PI replayer enforces the same order to reproduce above. So it is regardless which thread reaches the sketching point. The PI replayer enforces the same order. Now you may start wondering how we know whether the replay log succeeds to reproduce the log or not. For that purpose, our monitor is designed in a way to detect crash, dead log, and incorrect results. In addition, we can also leverage testing oracle and existing bug detection tools. Monitor can also detect unsuccessful replay by comparing the replay log and the original sketch information. If there is any inconsistency, we immediately abort the replay. It prevents us from going forward and give users effort on wrong instruction path. If monitor says, oops, we fail to reproduce the log, then what can we do? Of course, we can replay again from the starting point of the execution or the previous checkpoint. The question is, shall we do something different for next time? One way is just letting replay run smooth naturally. In that way, the replay log may be somehow different from the previous logs. However, instead of such random approach, we want more a systematic way. So we can actively learn from the mistake and decide how to improve. The first step to improve replay is to know why the previous replay log fails to reproduce the log. Fortunately, there is a common reason. For example, function sketch takes only the entry point of the function. Between these two function calls, we don't record anything, especially the order of data races. So during replay time, some unrecorded data race may execute in a wrong way, and we may fail to reproduce the log. Our feedback generator captures those data races and tries to flip systematical way. You may be worried. What if there are too many data races. How can you free all of them? However, unfortunately, we already know the global order of sketchplot, so we can filter out many useless data races. I will show the more details here. First, from the complete trace of the shared memory accesses, we identify binary race pairs. We used the intensity for race divergence. As for some data races, sketch point, we can infer their original orders. And we don't need to try flip those orders. For example, this sketching order already implies the original order of these data races. Therefore, we filter out those data races. And among the remaining subset data races, we pick one based on close to fail first and next first search. In a next replay, we deterministically execute until the suspect data race and then flip those orders. Okay, I will show the evaluation result here. We implement press with a pin. We used 11 applications and 13 real-world concurrency bugs. So it includes automist violation bug, order violation bug, and data bug. First, I will show the overhead of non-server applications. Here we show the original original pin overhead. If we can't use static instrumentation tool, then we can avoid this overhead. Now let's see RW first. RW shows the up to around 280 times slowdown. On the other hand, synclasses shows less than 60% overhead. And this graph shows the normalized throughput of MySQL. The trend is similar. So RW shows only 30% of normal throughput, the original throughput. On the other hand, and synclasses have a small overhead, so it can show the three times higher higher throughput than RW. It is not surprising because these schemes only take partial information. Then can those schemes still reproduce bugs? This slide shows this result. First, the base cannot reproduce any evaluated bugs within 1,000 tries. And as expected, RW can reproduce all bugs on the first replay trial. Interestingly, synclasses still can reproduce 12 out of 13 evaluated bugs within 10 replay attempts. Functioning BB5 also can reproduce all evaluated bugs, mostly within 5 attempts. So, maybe you want to balance your employee efforts and to recruiting overhead for your own purpose. This slide shows the benefit of our feedback generation. So this table shows our low overhead first-grain sketch schemes can work well only because of our PI replayer leveraging feedback generation. On the other hand, the random approach cannot work at all. So during replay time, we filter out useless races whose orders can be already determined by sketching point. So this table shows the effect of race filtering. So race filtering can significantly shrink the unrecorded non-deterministic space to be explored. And what if we try to replay the exactly same execution as the production run? So we also compared the replay efforts against the press research. So you can look at our papers. As a conclusion, we showed that for reproducing complex blocks on multiprocessors, the software approach can be practical and also efficient. The key points of our class are, first, we do not need to reproduce the block at the first replay attempt. Second, we can train replay efforts for the more rapid overhead by taking the probability approach. Third, our lower overhead and coarse grain sketching schemes can work well with our PI replayer leveraging feedback generations. Thank you very much.
Okay, we can take some questions here in the front.
I was just wondering if this looks really useful for reproducing the concurrency bug. I was wondering, could you also make use of the execution traces to help track down the actual problem and try to narrow down which specific pieces of the execution trace, if varied, cause the bug to not happen so you can try to point the programmer in the right direction and minimize the bug?
Yeah, that is a very good point. Actually, I should have mentioned that before. So, yeah, immediately you are right. So we can analyze the trace, and then the programmer can get more information from the trace, like minimize the box, the complexity box, or yeah, whatever.
Actually, yeah, I have one. You've targeted debugging as the application for the trace collection. And of course, one of the other uses of trace collection, one system that's gotten a lot of attention is revert. It allows rolling back virtual machine execution states for, you know, various kinds of things, understanding penetrations of machines and so on and so forth. I wonder if there's any chance for applying this kind of a sort of imprecise, kind of a partial, probabilistic replay in that kind of setting, if there's some middle ground that might allow that.
Oh yeah, that's also a good point. Yeah, of course, we can use our work with the virtual machine. So, yes, that's correct. If we use a virtual machine, we can even replay the whole system.
Is it precise enough to be able to roll back an execution and determine what happened to guide you there?
It depends on which reference schemes we took. So it means if the reference schemes is fine grain enough, then we can just easily pull back and then look at the traces. But yeah, it also depends on the replay approach efforts directly.
I guess another way to ask the question might be, what is the inherent collection overhead to gather a trace that is suitable for, that is precise enough to be able to allow backtracking?
So
you presented several schemes with different collection overheads and different levels of fidelity, if you will, to the full execution.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you've thought about the properties to be able to say which is sort of the minimal scheme that you can use that would actually allow backtracking.
Yeah. So if the target application have many log operations, then maybe the sync operation will be enough for the efficient replay. And then because the sync regulating the sync operation has imposed a zero overhead. But if we assume there is no synchronization point at all, then maybe sync scheme cannot work, right? So besides these regular schemes, maybe the user can try to just randomly, not randomly, maybe once per 1,000 instructions, right? effect. Then in a way they can anyway trade the revenue overhead and also reflect the effort.
So we have another question from one of the authors that we've heard.
Your results were pretty different from the next paper in terms of the time to find active reduction on the run. I'm wondering if you expect that to what caused that.
So you mentioned the next paper.
The ODR paper.
Yes.
I asked the same question as them.
Yes. I think the ideas, the main idea seems similar, right? But their work may be more focused on the static analysis to reduce the runtime overhead. So maybe after we listen to the next talk, then we can discuss.
Okay, we have time for one more question here in the front. I think your microphone's on.
Can I hear you?
Hello, now. This is Anthony Pietro. Trying to place your solution in the context of replaying mainland of bugs. And for long running executions, let's say you have a database that manifests in the server after 1 year. Would you advocate that this is a good solution to monitor the checkpoint very frequently for the entire year?
Your question is the checkpoint. How can we use the checkpoint for our test? What is your question?
So basically the question is, these non-deterministic bugs usually take a long time to appear. Run server for months, and then it just appears after 6 months, let's say. And it seems to me like the overhead of continuously reporting the execution for such a long time is going to be cumbersome.
Of course, we can take a checkpoint, right? And so, of course, we can since the red checkpoint, we can look at the trace and then find how to improve the next replay. In this, we can gather more data traces during these durations. And if we cannot find or we cannot reproduce the ball, then of course we can go back to the previous checkpoint. So, we assume that we can take the checkpoint.
Time to speak.